Thank you for joining me for another edition of A Word from God. I'm James Lindley, and today's episode is titled God the Creator. As usual, we will be reading from the NIV version of the Bible. A couple of days ago, I was channel surfing, and I came across a program that was discussing the possibility of life on the planet Mars. And as I watched this show and listened to them discuss the theory of universal evolution, I began to think how ignorant people can be, even in their intelligence. And what I mean is that I was watching how they built these spacecrafts, the scientists being they, and I was watching the amount of money, time, and effort and intelligence that went into building spacecraft and machinery to explore the planet Mars. And I got to thinking, you know, with all this intelligence behind these space programs, you would think somebody would stand up and say, hey, there's something bigger than us involved in the universe, and that would be God. And you would think that people would actually get up with that kind of intelligence in the space program and realize that there is a creator. And that's why a lot of the answers they don't have aren't there. And they can look all they want, but until they open their Bibles, they're not going to see the truth. Now, the Bible clearly depicts God as the creator of everything. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when we're talking about the heavens, we're talking about everything that the eye can see, and things that the eye will never be able to see, because the universe, of course, is so huge, so vast, and so magnificent that we could never comprehend all of it. And God created it. God created everything that we see, touch, feel, hear, and things that we will never be able to grasp with our comprehension level. And not only did God create the materialistic things that we see, but He created every living thing as well, all the way up to human beings who are actually made in His image. Not His physical image, of course, but His spiritual image. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female, He created them. Now, with all of this knowledge given to us through the Bible, you would think that people would turn to their Bible when it comes to understanding the things of this universe that we don't understand, and realize that God made everything for His good pleasure. Even in the New Testament, the Bible declares God as the creator of everything. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Now see, the Bible is completely clear on who the creator of everything is. Psalms 104, verse 24. How many are Your works, O Lord? In wisdom You made them all. The earth is full of Your creatures. And Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, as human beings, we are naturally inclined to search for our own answers. But, you know, God gave us the Bible so that our search wouldn't take us out to the far reaches of the universe trying to find out how a planet was formed and whether or not there's life on it. And, you know, just by reading the Bible, we can come up with the answers that scientists are spending hundreds of millions, perhaps even billions of dollars trying to figure out. Now, you can't tell a scientist that the planets were all made by an invisible being who calls himself God of everything, because they just won't accept it. To them, that's too complicated. They would rather come up with a theory on their own on how the universe was created by itself with no help than to listen to the perfect wisdom of the Holy Bible. Not only did God create everything, but he did it through a simple command. Psalms 33, verses 6 through 9, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." You know, God is more powerful than we could ever imagine. But if you ever want to get just a small, tiny glimpse of the power of God, go out on a clear night and look into the heavens and see his handiwork. Because God just spoke one simple command, and everything came into being. Imagine for a moment the kind of power behind a spoken word. That's the power of our God. That's the power of the Lord who loves us more than anything we could ever imagine ourselves. Not only did God speak everything into creation, not only did he just make it all happen with one word, but he did it with loving care. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed." You know, God just didn't make things out of chaos. God made the earth, and he made a garden on the earth. And he called this garden Eden, and he put the man he had formed into the garden. You know, God cares about us so much that he provided everything we would ever need. Now, not only did God take care in what he was doing, not only did he provide a beautiful place for Adam to live, but Proverbs chapter 8, verse 31 says, "Rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind." Now, imagine for a moment that you could see God, and if you could see God, you would see him rejoicing over people. That's kind of hard to believe in this day and age, because for the most part, people can make you pretty mad. And you got to understand that God made us because he loves us. Now, if there's someone out there listening right now who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, may I say to you that God wants peace with you. He wants to make amends for your sins. And he does that through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. And if you're living without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, then I would like for you to take a moment and just ask God to come into your heart and say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, I turn from my sins, and I accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior." Because you know something? God does love you, and he delights in you. Even the sinner is called to repentance and called into the family of God. And if there's anyone out there listening who is a Christian, I hope that your church is teaching that God loves not only you, the Christian, but he loves the sinner as well, and he wants everybody to come to him through his Son, Jesus Christ, because he delights over mankind. Did you know that creation screams of God's wisdom? Psalms 104, verse 24. "How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." You know, I go to the park quite frequently, and I watch the squirrels, and I occasionally run across the rabbit, and I see the birds, and I look at the trees, and I think to myself how perfectly everything works together. and how man could never build such an ecosystem. And not only did God have to build the small ecosystem that we see within a park, but he had to build the massive universal ecosystem that we see throughout the universe as well. Everything had to work perfectly together. And I tell you what, if you've ever studied astronomy, and I have when I was younger, when I was a young boy, I studied astronomy. In fact, that was one of my dreams, was to become an astronomer. And I thank God every day that that dream, that that prayer was unanswered. But I've studied astronomy, and I have learned quite a lot about how the universe works. And even though I understand now that creation was the means by which it came about, there are certain aspects that science shows us about the universe that are undeniably magnificent. And you can see the hand of God and the wisdom of God as you study these attributes about the known universe. Now, as we look around in our world today, we see a lot of things that are going wrong. But all of the things that are going wrong were done by man himself. Now, prior to Adam and Eve sinning against the Lord, things were perfect. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. You know, when God made everything, it was in perfect order. It wasn't until man, who by the way was given stewardship over the creation, sinned that things started to fall apart. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 we read, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it." From that moment on, creation was never the same, because God had warned Adam that if he was to eat of the forbidden tree, that he was going to suffer spiritual death. And when Adam suffered that spiritual death, so did all the things that God gave him stewardship over. Remember, God put him in the garden to tend it, to take care of it. God had turned over his creation to man. Now, if that doesn't show you love, I don't know what does. I mean, not only did God make everything, but he gave it over to us. Now, that doesn't mean that we can harness everything. I mean, obviously, we haven't got the ability to even put a man on Mars as of to date. But it means that God entrusted us with the creation that he made for us. And, you know, I think about it like this. We are not God's pets. We are made to fellowship with him. You know, a pet is something that you put on a leash or something in a yard or something that you keep in a cage. So for God to have made such a beautiful planet and to have just given it to us and to entrust us, that is an amazing display of love. What would you give to somebody that you love? What would you entrust them to? You know, and God not only trusted us with this, but he actually knew what we were going to do before we did it. And he still loved us enough to give it to us. And you know, when I think about all of the provisions that God has made for us on this planet, and I think about how we now as a species struggle. And you know, for those of you listening in America, you're thinking about how easy it is to go to the grocery store and pick up your fruits and your vegetables and your frozen dinners and everything else that you enjoy on your dinner table. But there's people in countries right now who are dying of starvation. And you might want to ask yourself, why is God making this happen? Well, God's not making it happen. We are. From the moment that Adam and Eve walked away from God, the creation started to fall apart. Why? Because it was in the hands of sinful human beings. Anything that sin touches, it harms. So when you have sinful beings taking care of a perfect creation, what's going to happen? It's going to taint it. It's going to decay it. And God made Adam and Eve to where they would never die. Yet when they sinned, the sin started to decay them. The sin started to destroy them from the inside out. One day, when God comes back, when the Lord Jesus returns, He is going to select those people who have rejected the idea of sin, who have repented from their sins, and who have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior to come join Him. And He will restore the creation that God made in the beginning. And it will be a perfect world without sin. Hard to imagine, I know. But it will happen. God promises it throughout the Bible. And I feel sorry for those who reject Jesus Christ, because there will come a day when He returns and every knee will bow and every eye shall see Him. You know, I believe on that day even the blind will have their eyes opened up and they will see Jesus riding on the clouds of glory with the angels of God. And I can't even imagine how beautiful of a sound that is going to be as Jesus comes for the second time in the glory of the kingdom of heaven. And the angels are singing and proclaiming His name as King forever and ever. Now, some of you out there who are listening, who are not Christians, who are not saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, you might be thinking that there's a madman on the other end of this microphone. And to be honest with you, some time ago, not too long ago, I would have agreed with you. But since I have given my life over to Jesus Christ, and I have trusted Him through faith, not through good works, but through belief that He is who He says He is in His Word, I have seen miraculous things. Is my life perfect? I would be a liar if I told you it was. Because even though I am a Christian, I am still subject to the decay of sin. Because even though I'm a Christian saved through Jesus Christ, I still suffer the consequences of past sins. I still stumble, I still fall with present sins. And I still live in a world filled with sin. Each and every one of us are being bombarded every day by the disease known as sin. And if we could eradicate sin, we would have a perfect world. Only Jesus Christ can eradicate sin forever and ever. Jesus paid the penalty in full for our sins. We made this mess. Not God. But out of His love, He stepped in and He paid the price. You know, as King, God put forth a set of laws, the Ten Commandments. And as we break them on a daily basis, we have no defense for ourselves in front of God. And there will come a day where every man, every woman, every person will sit in front of the judgment seat of God. And we will have no excuse as to why we broke His laws. Revelation speaks of a time when God's judgment hits the earth with fury and wrath. And on that judgment day, the saints, the saved individuals through Jesus Christ, I believe, will be able to look down upon the earth and see what a wreck it is. And the sinners below, who are left behind, they'll be blaming God. Remember, Jesus says in that day there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And these left behind individuals, they won't understand why their world is being destroyed. They will want to blame God, but it will be the consequence of sin as to why the world is being ripped to pieces, as it shows in Revelations. If you haven't picked up the book of Revelations, I suggest that you go through it. And you look at the scriptures that talk about how the earth is being bombarded. And you may not understand it all because of the form of writing that is used, but you will see the wrath of God. And you will see that wrath is a response to man's sin. God loves his creation, and he delights in mankind. But if you are not saved through his Son Jesus Christ, then you will suffer the decay of sin all the way to the lake of fire. And I don't want to see that happen. And I know God doesn't, because God loves you. And if he didn't love you, he would not have sent his Son to die for you. God cares very much for you. The next time you go out into nature and you look around and you see the animals and you see the trees and you feel the wind blowing on your face and the fresh air, if you can get any in this day and age, as you experience God's creation, don't worship the creation, worship the Creator. Know that somebody made that for you so that you can enjoy it, so that you could have life. And not only life, but life everlasting through Jesus Christ. You won't get to God through any other means except Jesus Christ today. That's about all the time I have for this edition of A Word from God. I'm James Lindley, and I'd like to invite you to my website at jameslindley.org. That's www.jameslindley.org. And while you're there, may I ask that you prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. God does not grow money for his ministers on trees. He works through people, Christian people like yourself. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that God blesses you immensely from this message. What is all this talk about Jesus Christ? What is Jesus all about? In the Old Testament, God laid down 10 commandments. These were laws that people are to live by. Breaking any of these laws means to sin. The word sin actually means to miss the mark. Now, under God's law, a person who sins is subject to death for the penalty, spiritual death. What it means basically is that when a person's body dies and they have sinned while they were living, they are judged by God according to the Ten Commandments, and when found guilty, they are condemned. Now, in order for a person to pay the penalty for sin, they were required to give God a blood sacrifice. And this came in the form of a lamb. So in other words, when you committed a sin against God by breaking one of the Ten Commandments, you were required to slaughter an innocent animal and spill its blood in atonement or payment for your sins. Now, nobody in the world could ever slaughter enough lambs to pay for all of their sins they've ever done or all of the sins they ever would do. So a perfect sacrifice was needed. Enter Jesus Christ. Jesus was God himself in the flesh who walked a perfect life here on earth. He never broke not one of God's commandments. And when he died, his blood was spilled, and he died as an innocent lamb would have died. Hence, why Jesus is sometimes referred to as the Lamb of God. In fact, in the book of John, he is literally referred to as the Lamb of God. The Lord, in his loving grace, sent Jesus to pay the full price for all of our sins that we would ever do or ever have done. And so we ourselves couldn't provide enough lambs to make this happen. God himself stepped down from his throne and became a living being and was born for the purpose of dying to pay for all of our sins. If you've ever stolen anything, if you've ever lied, if you've ever cheated, so much as on a test in school, you have broken God's commandments. Even if you have looked at a woman in lust, the Lord says you have committed adultery in your heart. See, God is concerned about the state of your heart. And so, if you want to become a part of the Christian family right now and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about joining a religion. I'm talking about having a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The first step is prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. There's no formal way of doing it. We just simply speak to God as if He was our best friend. And you know something? He is. So if you want to become a Christian right now, your first step is to pray to God and to ask Him to forgive you for your sins through Jesus Christ, and then to ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Say this prayer with me now. God, I am a sinner. I have broken Your law. I have ignored Your commandments, and I have lived a life of sin. And I ask You, God, to forgive me for all of my sins I have ever done and for all of the sins I ever will do. I accept right now Your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior, and as my payment for my sins. I believe that He died for me, that He took my place, God, that He is the sacrificial lamb. I thank You, God, and I believe that I am now on my way to becoming a Christian. If you just said that prayer with me now, you are now in the family of God. As a believer, there are some very important things you should be doing every single day to grow your relationship with Jesus Christ. I've put together a teaching series on four principles that no believer in Christ should be without. And it's yours absolutely free, no cost, and no obligation. All you have to do is write me at James Lindley Ministries, Attention, Four Principles for Believers, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Be sure to indicate which format we should send you, CD or DVD. These four teachings represent the four most important aspects of a person's walk with Christ. Each teaching stresses an important principle that every believer should apply to their life. The four teachings are reading and studying God's Word, obeying God's Word, surrendering to God, and forgiveness. Again, this series is free, no cost or obligation, but you have to take the first step. I can't get this important teaching to you unless you write me. If you're looking for more out of your walk with Jesus, then I would like to invite you to my website, www.jameslinley.org. That's www.jameslinley.org. There you will find inspirational articles along with more editions of A Word from God that you can watch right from your computer. So click on over today. And while you're at it, why not write me a letter with your questions and prayer requests? I would love to hear from you. I'll send you a copy of our current newsletter along with some other inspirational goodies. Be sure when writing me to mention if you're a new believer in Christ, and I'll send you a free Bible. And of course, there is no cost or obligation for any of the stuff I'll be sending you. Just write to P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801, and be sure to attention it to James Lindley Ministries. God bless.